Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heat and Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Tip.
What is it, Stelly?
Yeah, well, today we want to talk about team member retention in startups.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And when I first suggested this, Heaton was like, well, you know, maybe you don't want to be in San Francisco if you want to retain people for more than 1 or 2 years. Because the way I pitched the topic was, what do you have to do? How do you ensure that people work with you and work for your startup for longer than just 1 or 2 years and then move to another startup? I mean, I interview people.
Yep.
Every day I look at people's resumes and LinkedIn profiles every day, and people that work in the startup world that have worked at a lot of startups, if I look at their timeline, it's always more or less, it's like 18 to 24 months, 1 to 2 years yeah. before they go to the next one, 1 to 2 years before they go to the next one. And I think that's a huge problem. As a startup founder, I want people to come and work with me. I don't have the foolish expectation that they're going to stay with my company forever. Although I want the relationship to be forever. They don't have to work with me or for me or with the company forever. But I don't want them to just come to hop to the next thing, to hop to the next thing. Employee retention is really huge. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of times people tell us, especially the ones that have a lot of offers on the table, the ones that then decide to go with our offer and our opportunity oftentimes tell us one of the main reasons was I looked at a bunch of people in the company and I saw that they've been with a company for 4 years, for 5 years, for 6 years. And I was like, wow, this company must truly be awesome when these super talented people stick around for so long, right? And are still that passionate about the business.
Yeah, that's great. I'm only laughing because it's like, you know, when our parents were growing up, you'd stay at the same company for 30 years.
Yeah,
you'd be a lifer, period, right? And like, the world's not like that right now. People have options, and they have opportunities, and they want the fresh, shiny new thing. And if you can't give them that in your company, then they will leave. So, I mean, jumping into this, I think there's a basic thing, which is be honest with them, and that's really important. Honesty goes a super long way when it comes to retaining people. And honesty can be everything from feedback on how they're working out, how their work is, all the way to when you make a decision that impacts them, be honest about why you're making it. You know, almost to a point of brutally honest, right, about why you're making it. That way people feel like they can trust you. So that honesty builds trust. And I see so many people who I talk to talking about their managers, their companies, and they just don't trust them. And somehow, I'm sure these people are trustworthy, you know, but somehow that trust has eroded. And it's because of, you know, lots of reasons. But one of the big ones is like, they don't understand why the company's making certain decisions. And they don't feel like the company's not necessarily being honest, but just not transparent with them about it. Another aspect of it is they've been told things that don't come true. They've been made promises, basically. And nobody's trying to do all of that, usually. It's just something where like people don't realize what they're creating in their environments that make it so people are not retained.
Yeah, I think honesty and transparency, like trust is such a scarce commodity in today's world, right? Real trust.
Oh, man.
Right? Real trust.
Yeah.
That when you have it, it feels so valuable that people really think hard and long about letting that go and going into a new relationship, right? Think about this. You're in a relationship that is amazing and where you have complete trust and you feel comfortable and you still experience growth and excitement and there's still a mission and something to accomplish together. Why would you let that go to go into a random new relationship with all the risks associated with it? Taking the risk only makes sense if you see, you know, opportunities you're not getting currently. And opportunities usually are opportunities
right.
of growth, or opportunities to feel like your voice is heard and you're having an impact, or the opportunity to be comfortable and be yourself and feel good about it, or the opportunity to believe in the thing everybody works on, or believe in your manager or the leadership team and what they're telling you, versus constantly thinking that you're being treated, you know, in a distorted way, or where they're hiding the real truths behind closed doors and all that. So trust is so, so scarce that if you can create that a high level of trust within your company and people feel that they are trusted and they can trust their coworkers, they can trust management, the founders, it's so valuable that people want to stick around usually. They don't want to let that go.
Yeah, why would you? So I think that's big. Another one to me that's really big is, and this is where the San Francisco thing comes in, I think. Generally, there's a lot of distractions in San Francisco when somebody is in a job physically in San Francisco. I actually am in the San Francisco area. And so, yeah, my co-founder and I are the only ones in San Francisco or in the area. Everyone else is like 30 minutes or an hour or more away or all over the world. And the thing I notice about San Francisco the most when I talk to founders who have companies here is that people have more choice and people are ready to go to another company really easily because they don't have to put up with an environment that they're just not happy in. And happiness could be as simple as I'm not getting paid enough, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Happiness can be as simple as the product I'm working on is not enjoyable for me and I don't like this industry. It can be as simple as I don't like my manager. So there's a whole bunch of opportunity here, much more physically in terms of here in San Francisco than anywhere else right now. And that's probably likely to be the case for a long time if you're in tech and thinking about building tech or wanting to work at a tech company of some kind, although all companies are probably going to be tech companies in the future, even a restaurant, but that's a whole different story. Maybe not. They all use Square, so I'm just kidding. But like a lot of them do. San Francisco is fascinating, and I think it's almost an amplification and a good study of what happens in a company and why people don't retain. Yes, it's trust and honesty for sure, but it's also the idea that, and it really boils down to the idea that there's a better opportunity for me somewhere else. So if you have people who are employed by you, who are working on your teams, who are team members, and your situation, the situation you've created for them is not the best for them, it's your job to identify that and either make it the best or let them go. Because if it's not the best for them, they're not able to do their best work. And so I think at close, what you folks have been able to do is create an environment where people are being able to do their best because it's the best environment for them. Whether it's, and I think for you guys specifically, it has a lot to do with how you recruit people and how you bring them in and the things you have around your offsites and all that kind of stuff. And it's almost like a tribal sort of culture that you've created around people who like to travel, right? I remember you talking about this, and I think those core people that have been there that long, there's like this culture there. And like, honestly, that's like not an important factor in the companies that I have and I've built. It's not about that specific one thing and a couple other characteristics. It is fine if you work at our companies or my companies and you like to travel. That's not a problem. We're not a company that's going to facilitate that in a way that you guys do.
Yeah, I think, you know, it really comes back to understanding, you know, what your core culture is and what kind of people you even want to work with yourself. Like, what are the main reasons and motivations that people should have that want to work at our company? And what are the main reasons and motivations that we have for doing work and working in this company? And I think that when you talk honestly and openly about that, it makes a really big difference. And a lot of times we'll see that when I ask candidates in the very early process, if I ask them, hey, you're smart, you're incredibly talented, there's tons of opportunity out there. I'm sure you're looking at a bunch of companies. What are your main criteria? How are you going to decide which one to choose? Let's say everybody offers you a job. What kind of, how do you decide, right? And what are your must-haves and nice-to-haves? And how do you boil it down to the one offer that you would take? Then describing that to me, you know, explains a lot of like their value system and what's the most important to them. And the people that typically choose us are people that usually start with saying, you know, obviously the work I do and the product and the market and this, that, and the other. But the biggest and most important thing, the number one thing I always look for foundationally is the team, the culture there. Are those people I enjoy working with? Are those people I trust? Are those people that inspire me? Are those people that are good humans? If I have the feeling that I can trust that and that that's given, then I'll look at product and salary and opportunity and all these other criteria. But people that look at team first and culture first, Those are the type of people that usually tend to want to come and work with us. And there's people that have different criteria, different priorities. You know, if your number one priority is always working in the latest tech and the hottest, buzzworthiest thing that's going out there, which is totally cool if that's what you want, but that's not going to be, we're not going to be a great place for that for sure. The other thing is also like coming back to the communication honesty. When we talk to people, we tell them we want to build the relationships with everybody who works here that will endure long term. Maybe you'll work here for a few years. Maybe I'll come and work for you one day. Maybe we'll invest in each other's ventures or in something else. But we are only interested in relationships that are going to be going on for 10, 20, 30 years or have the potential at least for that. And so we want to honestly know, what do you want to accomplish in your life and be a supportive part of that story and that journey? And we've hired people that told us from day one, in 3, 4, 5 years, I want to start my own business. And that's totally cool. And then we'll talk about, you know, how does this fit into the work that you're supposed to do here? How can we support you with that transition? Just being honest. So we have people that work here that have side businesses, right? That run their own little side business. And it was totally fine from the, like, we told them it was fine and it was really fine. And we've supported them and given them opportunities to grow those side businesses, right? And they've told us that other companies had told them the same thing, but that had really bad experiences where a company would say a side biz or side app is totally cool, but then would constantly criticize them for that and kind of shut it down and try to downplay it and try to take away the oxygen for it versus us helping them, supporting them in their long-term goals. I think just that honesty and being like thinking long-term can make a massive difference in then how people feel and think about you. And people don't just disappear in our company and go, you know, I don't care about this. There's a shinier thing over there. I'm gone, right? Not that nobody has ever left our company, but we don't have that high churn and high turnover. And I couldn't imagine building a business where you have this massive amount of turnover because it takes so much time to hire great people and onboard them that the last thing I want to do is lose them, right? It's the same thing with customers. We talked about retention a million times and how that's much more important, engagement and retention of users or customers, than just pure acquisition, right? So I think about it at the same time, and I'm at awe of businesses, especially San Francisco startups, that keep growing and growing and that I hear that are like losing tons of people and have these like revolving doors where people come and 6 months later they're gone and 8 months later they're gone and 12 months later they're gone. I'm like, how do these companies work, right? So I think that to me at least, to the type of business that I want to run, employee retention is like the most important thing. Right, I want the people that work with me to be happy, fulfilled, growing, and to be doing the best work they've ever done.
I couldn't agree more. There's no way that I would want to run a company where people are leaving constantly, you know, because that's what happens if once you're a couple years in, if people are leaving at the year mark or whatever, they're just trying to get their equity and their cliff. If you know, if your company's set up that way, and they leave, right? And so I couldn't agree more. I wouldn't want to create a company, work in a company, or be part of a company where people just don't feel like they can, you know, work there long enough. And I think setting expectations early, like you mentioned that you do with your team members, it's really important. One thing that I say that like my co-founder kind of always like gives me a weird look when I say this to some of the people coming in is like, I want to give them their dream job.
Ooh,
right? I said that to somebody. I said that to somebody who I've worked with for a long time. In the past, and he does some consulting with us, but he has a full-time job, and we're going to meet with him for a while tomorrow, actually on a Saturday, because that's the best time you can meet for like a half day. And I told him, I want to give you your dream job. But the thing is, I've given him a job before, and I'm not saying I screwed it up because he stayed a while and everything, and it wasn't like a 1 or 2 year thing. But like, I want to give him a better job than that job. You know, I want to give him his dream job. I want him to work with us for ever, if possible. You know, unless he wants to go start a company or something, which I don't think he does, but maybe he does now, right? I don't know. But like, his dream job, whatever that looks like, it's my job to give him that. Honestly, that's how I feel about every team member on our team. Their dream job. What does that look like, right? Because if you're able to provide that to somebody, why would they leave?
I love that. That's so powerful. Let's end on that note. What would it take to create your dream job at our company? Like, what? I want to give you your dream job. I love that. That's it. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's what they say.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And until next time, we'll see you soon.
See ya.